Welcome to the Encounter Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
How many know your freedom is not free? Freedom is not free. And I just want, I want the veterans just to stand again, because I want to just see you. And if you serve this country in some capacity, you know, you just never know. God bless you. God bless you all. And I'm going to talk about Ashley. Okay, you can be seated, all the men. I want to talk about Ashley. Ashley, you can sit down, Ashley. Ashley told me yesterday, she said, "Don't embarrass me, Pastor Steve. I won't embarrass her." But come on, Ashley. Ashley, come on. She was a Marine for four. Is a Marine. She once a Marine, always a Marine. All right? What is that saying? What, like, never give up, never die? You know all that, but something like that. I don't know. You can tell Pastor Steve was a city boy. I never went into the military, but what is it?
Simplify.
And what does it mean?
Always faithful.
Okay, but really, when you enroll, I know Ashley probably had some preconceived ideas of going in to being a Marine, and then you get there, and it's not what it's cracked up to be, huh, Ashley? And then you got to deal with stress and trauma and contradiction. It sounds kind of like being a Christian, huh? And so we thank you, Ashley, for your service in 4 years, and all the other veterans. God bless you. But you think about it, how many of us, because the Lord calls us, what, His army? Think about that. Think about that for a moment. Are you, what kind of soldier? Now, this is not even in my notes, but I was like, wow, what kind of soldier am I? How am I fighting? Am I going AWOL? No, I know I'm not. I'm talking about you. I'm asking, you know, when God asked the question, he's not that he's worried about it. I'm like God right now. I'm not God, but, you know, I'm asking you the question. It's like, Adam, where are you? Are you going AWOL? Or are you deserving of getting court-martialed because your conduct was unbecoming as a soldier in the army of the Lord? So that's something that only you can, there's no condemnation here. Hopefully some conviction that the Lord will convict us, is that, come on, yes, we're the Lord's army, and we're his mighty men and women of God. Amen. And so, come on, there's a fight. We fight, and we know from Scripture, Paul and many of writing, it's that we don't fight beating the air, but there is an adversary. And not that we want to fight people. We love one another. Aren't you thankful for His presence? I'm not going to be with you real, real long. I don't know. I don't really care. And it's good to see you young men again from Teen Challenge up there and family. And I'm not in a hurry. You know, when you, I make this, allude to this, maybe because when, don't touch this. This is my mask. Okay, so no one touch it. Okay, don't get near it. It's anointed. No. But how many, come on, you have a passion inside you. There's something that drives you, like that makes you excited. It could be something in the natural. It could be something that you like to do. It may be a hobby, an instrument, but there's something inside of you that burns, that you love to enjoy. Well, I think that our relationship with God shouldn't just be a hobby, but it's something that He consumes us with, and He fills us with passion. Pastor Steve, I'm a passionate person. I cry easy. I can laugh easy. Sometimes I get mad too easy. But, you know, how many know the Lord's working on us? Even as we sang, Lord, let your glory and your Holy Spirit. How many know the fruit of His presence, the fruit of His Spirit, what is love? Come on, how many can say, Lord, I need some more love. Lord, and even, Lord, I need more peace and joy and long-suffering and self-control. Come on, and temperance and kindness and gentleness, and I don't know all nine. I don't know. Just open up to Galatians chapter 5, and it's written there. It's in the Bible. It's in there, but it's his fruit, and fruit is being grown inside of us. And so, amen. And Lord, even as we come to you and talk about passion, how you want to give us fresh passion to live for you. How many know that you're God's representative? You're his ambassador. You're an ambassador. You're an ambassador for the kingdom of God. You represent Jesus. Now, that's like scary. You're like, me, Pastor Steve? Yes, like Jesus is like, come here. You represent me.
Yes, that's right.
And so if we realize that, we're like, man, I better act a little differently. Who needs to? I better talk a little differently. I better listen a little bit differently. I better pray a little bit differently. I better even, maybe I need to dress a little bit differently. But we're the ambassadors of the Lord. And that's a great election and a great selection that he selected us to be his ambassadors. And Lord, we just even lift up. How many know that the United States, even in this post-election Sunday, that the United States is the greatest nation in the world, not because of who's president. And we honor the electoral process and everything that's gone on. And we pray for our nation. We pray for all of the elected officials. And we honor and we bless those that are in authority. But the only reason the United States will remain, not that we lift it up in pride, that we're greater than, it's through humility and brokenness. It's through serving other people. It's through serving other countries and modeling freedom. That's what true greatness is serving. And so I don't know what's going to happen with the United States, but I know God has a great plan for this nation. And I know he has a great plan for the nations of the earth. And I know God is on the throne and he wants to use his church to bring a mighty revival. Across racial lines, across party lines, against all these things that are so contrary and contradiction and have so many people pointing the finger at it. I almost did something right now. I would have regretted. But it's how I feel about division and about people backbiting and pointing the finger, because Jesus is greater than all that. And he wants his love and his passion and his fire to be inside of us to live on a higher level in a higher realm. And it takes us walking. If you want that, you have to walk in a greater level of obedience. You have to walk in a greater level of obedience to his word and says, Lord, I'm called to be higher than that. I'm called to be different. I'm called to be your servant. I'm called to be your likeness. I'm called to be your hands and your feet. And so no matter wherever I go, no matter what's happening, there's something different happening in me, because greater is he that's within me. I belong to a different kingdom. I live on a different plane. I walk to a different tune. It's through the kingdom of God, and it's through my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through the Father. And so you and I get to allow Jesus, or let the process that God is taking, is to make us more like him. And we get to do that. I thank my dear friend and one of my spiritual fathers, Wellington Boone.
Amen.
Because he talks about Christ's likeness. A lot of people don't like it because he preaches the unashamedly word of God. And he preaches about, when anything happens, are you allowing it to make you more like Christ in your response? Are you humbling yourself? Are you allowing Christ's likeness to be, because he does this whole thing on eternity training, is that you and I are being trained for the next life. And thank you for your prayers for the Bonilla family. As you know, it was just 2 weeks ago, we were here praying for Pastor Danny. And the Lord seemed fit to take him into glory two Sundays ago. We were right here praying, and after church was over, Pastor Porch was here, and last Sunday they had. And last week, Pastor Porch got called, and we ended up going to a memorial service in Oakland for another lady. How many know that our life is passing away? And I don't know about you, maybe it's because I'm 53 years of age, but how many know I want to make every day count? and our relationships count that we have with one another. Our relationships are really, really important. I know that Pastor Danny Bonilla, I know his family personally. I know his daughter and son-in-law and his grandkids. And I know they're like, man, we didn't know that dad was and grandpa was just going to be here 3 weeks. And then 2 weeks later, he's gone. And they're going through that mourning, but they know he's alive in heaven. But how precious the time is that we have to live. And the Bible, the Word of God says to make most of every opportunity. It also says in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that you walk circumspectly. That you understand the times and that you don't live in the dark. You don't walk in the dark, but you live, Lord, with purpose. You don't just walk and carelessly in life, but you live circumspectly. Like you're aware of the times. You're aware of what's happening around you. I think about our worship service today. This is not even in my notes. Don't worry, I haven't even got to my notes. So if you're praying and Pastor Steve hurries up, I don't know. Just if you feel like you got to go, you can just leave. You're not going to bother me. But you know, we started singing this song today about God is able. God is able. And I, you know, sometimes when I sing songs, I think of scriptures that allude to what we're talking about, because they're not just songs that we're saying. They're not just words, but I think about stories in the Bible. And I thought about Abraham. Here was Abraham, and it looked like the promise of God, everything was over. He was old. He was way old, really old, over 100. Sarah was, it looks like there was everything that God said wasn't going to happen. He was like, how long? God, I believed you. I've trusted you all this time. And in the natural, it seems like it's not going to happen. I don't have an heir. I have an Ishmael. We know what those are. We try to do things, and here it was. And then God comes to him and says, next year, you're going to have a son. I'm going to fulfill the promise that I've spoken over your life. And Abraham, he said, yeah, how, Lord? Everyone say, get the how out. Get the how. Get how. How many got how in your brain too much? How? Like, how's that going to happen, Lord? How's that? How's this? Get the how out. And get the hell out, too, with the how. Everything that's not from God is, come on. You have enemies. You got to drive those things. But it said what pleased Abraham in God's eye was that God, Abraham, all he says, what he says, Lord God, he said, you're able. You're able to do it. And he judged God faithful. And it says in Romans chapter 4, it says that Abraham didn't get tripped up. He didn't trip in his walk through unbelief. He didn't trip. So I want you to think about this, church. Does unbelief and doubt and fear trip you up in your walk with God? It says that Abraham was strengthened in faith, and he didn't consider his body over 100 years already dead. It says that he didn't stagger or didn't get tripped with unbelief at the promises of God, but he was fully persuaded that what God said, that he was able to do it. He was able to do it. So you know what I think makes God happy? When you and I just said, Lord, you're able. Lord, you're able. I may not understand it, but you're able. You're all powerful. You're able. You're able. You're able to perform. Because when God, you have to realize, when God speaks something, in his declaration is the creative ability to bring it to pass. And we know this because in that same chapter, it says, Abraham believed God, God who speaks to the dead things and calls things that don't exist as though they do. So God speaks. When God speaks, that's why I love. And when we sing and we worship, because God is speaking. He's speaking into dead areas in our life, areas that are dead, areas in our spirit, man, areas in our man that are non-existent, areas in our faith, man. He's speaking, and he's like driving out death. I don't know about you, but I'm like, death, get out of me. Because why? I want to be alive. I don't want to have any death. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have to die. Because the way you get death out is you got to die. You got to kill some things. But how many know those areas that God, that are not like him, that are not like his countenance, not like his presence, not like his character. He comes with his fire to consume it. The doubt and the fear and the unbelief, so that we will be a people that says, Lord, we believe you. We believe your word. We trust you. Come on, trust. That's a big word. I trust you. Even when I don't see it, even when I don't feel it, even when I don't even have the faith. Come on, you ever got down to pray and you're like, Lord, I don't know. I feel like when I try to pray, I don't know, are you even there? Come on. But you gotta, come on, say, I'm not staying here. Come on, say, I'm not staying here. I'm not staying here. We're moving. We're moving. We're moving. We're moving. And so God is able. How did I even get on that point? You guys stop asking me these questions. All right, let me get to my notes. I got 5 minutes. We can do this. It's 12:55. Shara, thank you, Shara. Hi, Angela. Shara, can you give me my first verse? And I just want, because Pastor Mike, what we last month we preached in October about go church, and then at the end of October we had go love, and then Pastor Portia preached last week, go truth. Come on, how many of you guys love that word? You like pulling out those crazy, crazy thoughts and crazy words. And so I have something I feel like says is go fire. All right. Go fire. Go fire. Isaiah 60 says, arise. This is not, Cher, I know I'm confusing you. I know you don't have this one, but this is out of the Pastor Steve version. Isaiah 60 says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Come on, everyone say me. And then it goes on and says, gross darkness is going to cover the earth. Gross darkness, but the Lord will arise upon you, O Zion. So you, come on, look at your neighbor and say, arise. Say, shine. Be radiant. Another translation says, don't be depressed under the circumstances that want to try to keep you there. Come on, drive out depression. And so my first scripture, thank you, Cher. Do you have it there? Revelation chapter 3. It says, I counsel you. This is Jesus talking to the church in Revelation. And if you want to be challenged in your walk, read the book of Revelations and come back and say, Lord, let your fire burn inside of me. Come on, how many of you know God is in the first three chapters of Revelations, he's dealing with the seven churches. And he has very affirming things to say, but also in his affirmation and his love, he has some correction. Come on, how many of you know that the Lord loves you too much to leave you the way you are? And in the part of that, it was like bringing them back to their first love. I love this about you, but. Come on, how many of you guys, you don't like the but? How many of you guys got someone in your life and they tell you all the good things, but, and we're like. Right? He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich and have pure white garments, that you may be clothed and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. I'm just going to go through these fire verses. Come on, we want to pour our heart out to Jesus and say, Lord, purify us. Lord, we want your pure gold. Come on, you know that the gold of your life is your faith. You know what the gold of your life is? Not your bank account. It's not how much money you have saved. It's not, because you guess what? You didn't bring anything into the world, and you're not taking anything out with you. And things that we trust in. And so the gold that you have is your faith in Christ. It's your faith. It's your faith. I counsel that you would buy this refined gold. Malachi 3, verse 2. It says, who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. Thank you, Lord. Lord, wash us. Come on, how many need you? Your brain washed, your body washed, your mind washed. You want your spirit refined. You know why you do? You know why you need it? is because when you walk and you carry and you encounter someone that needs a word from God, or they need a prayer, or maybe they're being tormented, you better have something inside of you to give out. Otherwise, because you may just look there, but come on, how many of you guys want some fire? You want some power in your life. You want a word in your life that when someone needs to experience Jesus, you won't just say, yeah, I'm a believer, or I'm a Christian. No, you can say, I'm a follower of Christ, and you can speak to that person. Let's just lift up this young man. His name is Ricky. I met him yesterday. Lift him up. He needs a heart procedure. He's having it at Stanford in a couple weeks. Lord, I lift up Ricky to you. He may be watching online. He's 28 years old. Lord, I thank you, Lord, this young man, Lord, that he would experience your power and your fire, Lord, that you would touch him and touch his body, even when he has this open heart surgery, Lord, at the hospital, Lord, in 2 weeks, Lord, that they will be amazed, Lord, that you've touched him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why did I say that? Because yesterday I was walking my dog. He's around here somewhere. Pat saw me. Pat, we were over in the, it was 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. How many of you guys like the cold weather? You're like, appreciate it. See? Not everyone likes it hot. Okay. But anyhow, that's an inside joke. They say, like, you know, lighter-complected folks like it cooler. But anyhow, another inside joke with my interracial family. But anyhow, I was walking fast, and I didn't have my proper coat on, but I ran into this, he was a security guy over there. And anyhow, I just started talking to him, and he wanted to pet the dog. And so, you know, Kratos is a good witnessing tool sometimes. And so anyhow, he's petting him, but I just started to talk to him, and I had a choice just to go on, or I had a choice just to say, hey, how can I pray for you, young man? Come on. And how can I? And I didn't know that he had a heart issue. I didn't know that in 2 weeks he was 28, or is 28 years of age. And my point is, for us, guess what? When we leave this place, we get to encounter humanity, and we get to interact with people, and we get to ask questions. You don't got to preach at people. Just ask them some questions, but say, how can I, you know, no one will turn down prayer, but you can lead people to the Lord. And just, you know, I was amazed. I was like, wow, what if I would have just shrunk back in fear? Like, oh yeah, just pet the dog and, you know, I'll be on my merry way. I was like, no. So that's what it means walking circumspectly, is that every opportunity, what, we can share our faith and share the love of God with people. And that's a passion. That's a passion that all of us need. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I'll keep going. Jesus says this, or actually John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Verse 12 says this in Matthew 3, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into his barn. You know the difference between a wheat and a tare? There's a story in the Bible, and it says that forgive me if I don't quote it exactly, but it says that a farmer went out to sow, and he planted his wheat. And an enemy came in and he scattered the seed in with the tares. And so, and they said, Master, should we go and just dig up the whole field? And he said, no. He says, we'll deal with that at harvest time. Because what happens is when we get to the full maturity, their heads are so heavy with fruit that they bow. But the tares stand straight up. And it's a picture of pride. It's a picture a tare will stand. And so the difference between a wheat and a tare is that wheat bow. And they bow in the presence. They bow when they get into the full. And when they get filled up, they bow and they get humble. But prideful people that are tares will stand up to be seen. And so it says he's separating wheat from the tares. And so in Luke chapter 12, 49, it says, I came, listen to Jesus, I came to send fire on earth and how I wish it were already kindled. John 15 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them away into the fire and are burned. Everyone say, I better stay connected. Come on, how many of you know you stay connected? How many of you guys, come on, next week we're going to make sure you bring your phones with you, bring your iPads, your tablets, because we're going to do a little activity next week, so you need to bring your smartphone or your dumb phone or whatever kind of phone you have, but just bring it because we're going to do something. But how many of you know, how many panic when your battery's like at 14%? Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? How many of you guys like, you got to stay charged up? Well, that's the same way of abiding. Come on, how many of you guys, you abide with the Lord? You abide. Otherwise, if you don't, you get dry. And when you get dry, you're good for nothing. And God says, you know what? I'm just going to let you fall off and you'll be good for something. Yeah, the fire. I don't know about you. That's scary. That's scary. Say, Lord, prune me. Make me, keep me green. Keep me fresh. Keep me anointed. Acts 2:3 says, then there appeared to them the divided tongues as a fire, and each one sat upon them. We know this. Acts chapter 2, the fire of the Holy Spirit. Come on, lay your hands on you. Say, Lord, consume me. Baptize me. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Come on, in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not just speaking in tongues. Come on, it's an encounter. It's an infilling. It's the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Lord, put fire within me. Put fire within my being. Give me fire. Fire that I walk with purpose and passion. Lord, that when I wake up in the morning, I have an expectation. Lord, when I wake up, I'm not depressed. When I wake up and face life, Lord, I'm not, Lord, in agony or depression or in resentment, Lord. But there's something inside of me that, Lord, says this is a great day to be alive because of your presence, because of your passion, because of your fire. Acts chapter 7 says, when the 40 years had passed, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire in a bush, talking about Moses. 1 Corinthians 3:13-15 says, each one of our works will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one of our works and what sort it is. Come on. We're going to be tested. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved as yet through fire. Come on, save us through fire. How many of you know that there's a fire that purifies and there's a fire that can torment? Hebrews chapter 12 says, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, this made me mad at God. Sometimes we think that God just wants a little bit of us, or he wants the Sunday part of us. How many of you guys, you like to compartmentalize your life? You know what I'm talking about? You have your different, you know how to navigate with different parts of you. That's why you're a little confused. No, I'm only kidding. But say, Lord, make me whole. Make me one. Make me holy. Let me not be trying to be too many. Make me not schizophrenic. Jesus, help Pastor Steve right now. Make me whole. Make me. But our God is a consuming fire. And it used to make me mad because I thought, I was like, man, I don't want to give that part to God. I want to keep that part of me. God, why do you want all? Why do you want it all, God? Why do you want everything? I don't want to give you everything. Why can't I just give you like 95%? And that's enough. And God says, nope. I want it all. I'm going to give you an illustration. What if you were in a relationship with somebody and they says, you know, I'm going to give you all. I'm going to give you my all. But one day out of the year, I want to tiptoe out and go have some fun with a person that is not you. You'd be like, you know, 364 days of the year, I'm faithful to you, but one day out of the year, I want to just do the do and do my thing. Would you go for that? You being evil, would you go for that? Would you? Okay. So Lord, say, consume every part of me. Consume it all. You want it all. And that's hard for us sometimes. That's hard for us because there's areas in our life that we don't want to surrender. There's areas in our life that we want to hold on to. There's areas in our life that we're stubborn. I'm talking to Pastor Steve right here. Come on. Well, I know you got them because I got them. I'm made of the same mud as you are. Say, Lord, help. I surrender. Let me surrender everything to you. Now look at this verse. Everyone say, Kayate. No, don't say that. James chapter 3 says, even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts about great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Now, Pastor Steve didn't write this. I did not write the Bible. But that's talking about our natural tongue. How many say, Lord, help me to be quiet? Help me to be quiet. Help me to, even in my prayer time, to listen and be quiet. Not say everything that comes to my mind. Not post everything on social media that I think I need to say. Because I think people want to listen to me. Lord, let me be quiet. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus. I mean, that the genuineness of your faith, come on, what's what God says? I'm looking for a people that have genuine faith. Sister Laura shared it in the passage today. Jesus came at the end. He says at the end that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will find faith on earth. He will find people that live by faith. Though our faith is tested by fire, it may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus. 2 Peter 3, don't worry, I'm almost done. And then we're going to pray, and I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to go out burning. Burning for the Lord, not burning for other things. I know some of you guys got some burning already. I need to be throw some water on. Some of you guys are burning, all right. You need to burn right in that tank, that baptism tank up there. We need to, yeah. And that's what that baptism tank is. We'll make it real cold. It'll cool off that burning. Those passions inside of you that burn, unholy, because that the Bible says that we live in a world that's full of lust, and that's how people live. They live by that. Help us not to. 2 Peter 3:7-12 says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, listen to this. Someone says, Pastor Steve, do you believe in global warming? Absolutely. You know why? It's in the Bible. This is the verse. I'm just kidding now. Don't. Oh, Lord Jesus, help you. It says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. I want to have news for you. The world is not evolving and getting better. Those that don't believe in creation know the world is, it was created. It was not evolved. The world, it will get hotter because it will be consumed. That God says it in his holy word that the heavens that we now know and the earth that you and I know, it will be changed. It will be consumed. It will be quenched with fire. You think God has some fire? Just saying, how many of you guys thought it was hot a couple weeks ago? How many get out in the sun? And the Lord, it says the same word. Don't you know that Jesus, the creator, the firstborn of all creation, he was there with God in the beginning, and he created the atmospheres. He created the heavens. He created the galaxies. He dropped the sun and the moon and the stars. And so you think hot, the sun is hot? Yeah. Don't you realize that we're singing about overwhelm us? I want you to lay your hand and say, Lord, let me think. Take this natural, confined, natural thinking brain of mine that thinks in the natural, that confines me to this realm. Don't you realize that there's a other realm that we don't even function in, we don't even think in, because we're locked into the natural? And don't you realize that if God created that which is natural and that is very, 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 very hot, don't you realize that the essence of his presence supersedes that which is natural and that which we so much deal with? We deal with time and space, and we deal with schedules, and we deal with days, and we deal with all these natural things around us. But don't you realize that God supersedes time? He supersedes the day and the night. He supersedes the nations and the calendars of the earth. That he's above all of this. He's above the earth. He's above the guy. He's above the sun, the moon, the stars. And we live in our little confined lives. And God is so much bigger. So when I say, Lord, overwhelm us with your presence. Overwhelm us. Holy Spirit, overwhelm us. Let's be more aware of your presence. Not just to make you feel good on Sunday, and even though he'll do all that and you feel good, but it's caused you to live and think differently. Even when you read your Bible, that he's so much greater and bigger. Then in the book of Jude, as Jude chapter, or actually Jude is only one chapter, those of you that don't know that, but in verse 7 and 20 it says, as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around them, in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Last verse, you get what you choose. That's what it says. You choose it. Choose life. Remember Pastor Mike's version? Deuteronomy says, I set before you today life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Choose it. You get to choose it. You get a choice. God, one thing I love, or maybe I don't always love, but God gives us a choice. He's not going to make you pray. He's not going to make you sing. He's not going to make you witness. He's not going to make you get on fire for him. You got to want it. You got to be like, you know, you can have as much God as you want, or at least. It's up to you. You can get as close to God. You can allow God to make it, or you don't, but it's up to you. Pastor Portia, when she was in high school, she won an award. It's up to you. Maybe I'll have her do the speech at the end. It's up to you. Everyone say, it's up to me. We always want to say, it's up to God. God is looking at you. It's up to you. When are you going to change? When are you going to say, Lord, when are you going to agree with heaven? When are you going to say, Lord, I'm tired of the same old seven. I want more of you. Is it going to cost you? Yes. Are you going to have to die? Yes. Are you going to have to change? Yes. Am I going to have to change? Yes. The answer is yes, 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 yes. Die, change, die, change, yes. And so, my closing verse at 118. Look at Sandra Lavetta. Last verse, I pray. It's only three verses, real quick. James chapter 1, it says, James, a slave, James, a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't call himself a Christian. He didn't call himself a pastor. He didn't call himself a believer. He says, I'm a slave for God. That we can stop and preach that around. What you talking about, Pastor? Are you racist? You know, you can't use the word slavery. Being a bondservant, it was the greatest that you were willing to. You were saying, it's not my life. It's not my life anymore. It's not my life. I don't know if you can say that and mean it and tell the Lord, it's not my life. I can't do what I want to do. You just say that. I don't want you to repeat. You thank you for repeating, but that's a serious prayer. That's a prayer that takes you and say, okay, are you at the level that God wants to take his church to? He says a bondservant, a slave that will do anything. And then it says, greeting my brothers and sisters. And he says this, he says, get excited. Count it all, meaning this word is, I'm going to read it for you, then I'm going to explain it. It says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This is the first verse I ever preached. I preached this verse at Portia's dad's church many, many years ago, probably 1986. I preached this verse. I don't even think I've preached this verse since then. But it says what? It says this word count. It means to stay in control of your emotions. It's what it says. It means that when you go through different, not just one, but a whole lot of situations that cause pressure. How many of you guys have experienced some pressure in the last season? And so it says, stay in control of your emotions. It means to stay in a place of dominance. It means to govern yourself. It says, it doesn't just mean you're happy. Well, I don't know. It says, listen, there's a place that you can remain with God, a place of joy, a place of victory when you're going through pressure, when you're going through testing. It says, get excited that it's producing something inside of you. And what is it producing? It's producing a perseverance for you to continue. Wes or somebody, you guys can just come up here and I'm gonna end with this. But I don't know about you, but I'm more excited right now about being alive and serving God than any time in my life. Because I don't know what the future has, but I know with God it's good. And so I don't know about you, I says, you know what, God, if there's ever a greater time to be alive, then I'm going to persevere. I'm going to stand. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to allow you to do a working with me, even though maybe sometimes we go through difficulty, we go through challenges. As being a pastor, don't you know we get praise reports the same day as we get prayer requests, and we get praise reports of victory, and then we get a report of somebody dying. And so in the midst of life, in the midst of victory, in the midst of defeat, in the midst of triumph, in the midst of tragedy, we have to say, you know what? God is still good. Yes. And God is doing something inside of us. He's doing something inside of us. It's greater. And so it says this, to stay in control of your emotions and let the joy of God fill you when you're going through testing. Because you know what, God, you know how you know if you're the real thing? Is you got to test it. You hear me tell the story all the time. You got to be tested. That's how you know love is true. It gets tested. It gets tested. What is it producing? What is this testing? It's producing a perseverance inside of you. And when you allow perseverance to have its work inside of you, it says that it will make you mature and make you complete. See, I don't know about you, but Jesus says some pretty... Have you read the Bible? And Jesus says, be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus says that. He says for us to be perfect. Doesn't mean you're not going to be... But it means to be mature. It means to be like him. It means to grow up. It means to grow up. And really, that's our mission. The desire of God in our life is to make us conformed into the image of Jesus. And so I don't know about you, but I need a whole lot conforming. I need a whole lot more transforming. Come on, to be more like Jesus. But really, our hero, our model, the person that we want to be like is not a preacher, it's not a pastor, it's not a politician, it's Jesus. It better be Jesus. It better be Jesus. Because when you get before him, is he going to know you? And says, you know what? I know you because you're like me. You know, your kids act like you, right? They say, the fruit doesn't fall too far from the tree. So when we fall before the Lord, hopefully he's like, you know what? Yes, you're my seed. You're my fruit. You're my children, because you allowed me to work in you and purify you and produce inside of you. It didn't always feel good. So Lord, today, as we have had such a wonderful time in your presence, Lord, and your word has come, Lord, and even as you challenge us, Lord, we say thank you for the challenge, Lord, the challenge to be more like you and to change, Lord. Like, even as none of us like that, we like the sound of change, but we, Lord, we don't like the obedience of change, Lord. And so even today, put your power so we won't just talk new and act old, Lord, but give us your power so as we declare the new thing that you're doing, Lord, that our walk will match what our words have declared. So put a new walk within us, put a new consecration within us, put a new dedication within us, put a new sanctification within us, sanctify us, set us apart in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you, Encounter Church. I know we went a little bit long today, but I just declare the power of his name over your life. Have a great day. Pick up your kids. Take someone to lunch. And when you go to lunch today, bless someone. And if you know a veteran, maybe you'll get a lunch for free. No. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Church Sermon of the Week. If you would like to learn more about us, please visit encounterjesus.us. or search for Encounter Church San Leandro in your app store.